Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're about to hear the teaching of Pastor Randy Castillo from Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please enjoy our website at hbcaz.org. So get ready. Find your Bible. Open your heart. Here is Pastor Randy.
We thank you. You are so faithful. And Lord, in return, we desire to be faithful to you. So Lord, help us. Help us to just remove all the doubts, all the worries, all the concerns of this world, and just to embrace your faithfulness. Lord, the world can be crashing, the world can be turning, the world can be unfaithful, but you are faithful. And so, Lord, this evening, as we come, refresh our hearts, Lord. Renew our steadfast love for you. Father God, bring us back to center. Lord, bring us back to square one. And Lord, thank you that you are merciful and kind, long-suffering, and faithful. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good evening. How are y'all doing? Me too. I've got a couple announcements. First of all, cross training with Gabriel tomorrow at 4 p.m. It is low impact. It's like Tai Chi with extra ties. I don't know what that means. It's cool stuff. That's at 4 o'clock right here back in the blue room. And so if you're interested in stretching and a little martial arts, that's a great, great class. Also, this Sunday after second service, the youth are going to have a youth parent meeting. We have new youth leaders, Desiree and Steve, or Steve and Desiree, yes, are taking over the youth group. Yeah, awesome. So they're going to have a meeting, because what they want to do is they want to share with you parents what their vision is for the rest of this year and on into next year. So that's at after second service in the youth room. So you're going to want to go over there. New hoodie odors. Maybe if you wear it all the time, it might have some odors. I know I'll wear mine all the time. But anyways, super cool, super awesome. And then if you want the regular hoodies, you can get those too. They're taking the orders. They started the orders last Sunday. I guess they're going to do it for a couple more services, and then we're going to put in the orders. And then after that, you can say, oh, I wanted it. No, it'd be too late. So go talk to the bookstore. They'll set you up. We have the Bible bus. That's where we use our church van to go pick people up and bring them to church and take them home. If you're interested in driving the Bible bus, talk to Pastor Gilbert or myself, or fill out one of the connection cards and just write in their Bible bus. I know that's a new ministry, so it's not in the connection cards, but just write it in, and we'll get in touch with you. With that, listen, we have opportunities to serve in just about every ministry. And listen, you might go, well, you know, I can't do this again. Listen, we have a ministry for anyone and everyone to get involved. Listen, the reason why I talk about that so much is because it's your opportunity to grow in the Lord. So there you go, opportunity to serve, connection cards, prayer cards. Yes, if you need prayer, fill out one of those prayer cards, drop it in, and then the church will be praying. And maybe it's something. Yeah, there you go. Yes, awesome. Vanna. Nice. By the way, the church van, you know, it's white. It's parked out there. My wife calls it Vanna White, so there you go. So, yeah, just since she said Vanna, I just thought about that. So, you know, fill those prayer cards out, connection cards, and visitor card. I don't think we have any visitors tonight. Maybe we do. I'd love to hear from you. One last thing, in case you didn't know, it's Desiree's birthday. Yeah, and she's not in here, right? She's with the youth. But check this out. Sherry and Don, or Don and Sherry, either way you want to go, they brought a bunch of cupcakes. So after service, we're going to go in the fellowship hall. We're going to embarrass Desiree and sing songs to her, you know, like Wish You a Merry Christmas, all the great songs we're going to sing to her. No, just hang around and help us eat the cupcakes. They brought a lot of cupcakes. It's awesome. All right, so if you would, with that, open your Bibles to John chapter 4. And the reason why I'm doing John chapter 4 tonight is on the 18th, we are doing a night of worship. And I think every now and then it's good to be reminded as to what worship is really all about. So in John chapter 4, we're going to look at verse 23 through 24. And I've entitled our message, Now is the Time. And that is incredibly important to understand, that there is a time that we should get our worship on and be right focused on what God has intended for us for worship. So let me pray one more time, and then I'm going to read these verses, and then we will look at them in detail. Father, thank you once again for your word. May we recognize the importance of worship. May we recognize that our hearts need to be right before you. And Lord, we just ask for that right now. Speak to each one of us that worship would have even a deeper, richer meaning after tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 4, verse 23 through 24 says this, But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And so realize this. It says here that the hour is coming and now is. Well, I think as we recognize that we are living in some really funky times, and that's an understatement of the year, I think. I don't know about you, but I'm anxious for 2020 to be over. It's like, let's have a fresh start, Lord. But listen, the hour is coming and now is. I believe that hour is now. It now is, especially as we recognize that Christ's return could be at any moment. We should be those who worship beyond songs, beyond music. The true worshiper will worship the Father in what? Spirit. And in truth, well, what does that mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. We're going to explore that. But also notice this. It says, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is looking. Tonight, as we worship, God is not looking at our outward expression. God is looking at our heart. Is it genuine? Is it real? Listen, what is worship? And I tell you this all the time. Worship is worth-ship, giving value, worth to God. It's honoring God. It's honoring something or someone. Listen, you are going to worship something. Giving personal worship, the definition is honoring God, honoring someone or something, giving personal worth to a person, place, or thing. Personal worth. What is God worth to you? Each person gives different amounts of worship to God. You realize that? The amount of worship you give to God is not the same worship that I give. The amount that I give is different than what you give. But each one of us will express what God means to us by our worship. By the way, President Trump was in town, in case you didn't know. And Jennifer and I, we got tickets, but we didn't go. And, you know, I was concerned with being, one, bogged down there all day because, you know, there's a lot of people. Didn't know how long Trump would talk because he does talk. So we prayed about it and we felt like, you know what? So we took care of some other things. Very important things, but we didn't go. But here's the thing that really astounded me, and that is this. 15,000 plus people went, stood in long lines, dealt with traffic, stood in the open sun to hear President Trump. Yet those 15,000 people, very few will attend church, worship God corporately. Listen, I wanted to be there. And I think it's cool to have seen, even if it was President Obama, whoever would have come, you know, to see a president, see Air Force One. I mean, that's impressive, let alone that it's a candidate that I'm actually rooting for. But more importantly, that was a form of, I'm not saying that you worship Trump. I'm just saying that was giving him worth as a president, giving him honor. What honor do we give God? Listen, there are 54 churches in this valley here. Most of them are around 25 people. Where's the worship to God? Listen, if you're not giving, each one of us gives a different amount to God. What you're not giving to God, you're giving to something. You are. God created us to be worshipers. So if you're not worshiping God, if you're giving God 10% of your worship, what are you giving the other 90% of your worship to? If you're giving God 80% of your worship, what do you give the other 20% of your worship to? Psalm 150, verse 1 through 6 says this. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of trumpets. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrels and the dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with crashing cymbals. There you go. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. See, that's the problem. Everything that has breath isn't praising the Lord. Some people are praising sports stars, celebrity stars. Some people are praising the mighty dollar. Some people with their breath, they're praising sex. People praise something. The problem is most people are not praising God. A.W. Tozer says this. He says, we must not rest until everything inside us worships God. I like that. But I can be honest with you. Not everything inside me always worships God. I want it to. But sometimes my flesh will worship something else. Here in John chapter 4 that we're looking at, verse 23, says, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit. In spirit, that's what's on the inside. You see, it's so easy for us to worship God in the flesh. We can. We can raise hands. We can jump up and down. We can sing. We can move our lips. But to worship him with your spirit, that's something far deeper, more internal. But listen, brothers and sisters, if the rapture can happen any day now, if we are living in the last day, I would say now is the time to learn, to grow, to desire, to worship in spirit and in truth. But Pastor Randy, singing's not the only type of worship, is it? Well, no, it's not. There are other kinds of worship. There's all kinds of worship. Let me give you a short little list. There's obedience, and that's God's favorite. God's favorite type of worship is obedience, not song. He likes songs. He created music. But his favorite is when you and I worship him through obedience. And by the way, God bless you. And by the way, spirit and truth worship cannot happen without obedience. You can't say, you know, call him Lord God Almighty and All Father and then say, but no, Lord, I'm not going to obey you. See, if I walk out these doors, when we walk out these doors and we don't obey the word, and then we come in here and worship, that's not in spirit and truth. That's in the flesh. That's giving God lip service. So there's obedience. That's a huge form of worship. Our service, when we serve others, we're saying, God, you're worth it. We're going to follow in your footsteps. We're going to serve. Then, of course, yes, there's our love offerings that we put in the offering box, what you give unto the work of God. There's prayer time, both private prayer. In fact, that's the prayer God loves the most. The scribes and the Pharisees would often go into the public square and they would pray out loud so everyone would hear them. But God says, listen, what you pray in secret, God will reward openly. See, when you pray in secret, that's not trying to impress anyone. That's not trying to look holy. That's simply going, you and me, God. It's like going to a romantic dinner with the one you love and holding hands across the table and putting your cell phone away. Try that one. And looking into each other's eyes. That's what it is. It's saying, God, just you and me. And then there's praise, worship, praise, singing, private and corporate prayer. I think I forgot to turn my phone off. That was mine. Naughty boy. Well, the sad part is someone in here who was texting me, put your phone away. No. I'm joking. But there's praise worship, singing unto God. Listen, just like prayer, you know how you can go prayer privately? You can praise God privately. You don't have to wait to sing to God when you come in here. You can sing in your car. Sing in the shower. Sing while you work. You know, my wife said one morning she got up early and one of the guys who work on the maintenance in our, you know, working on landscaping in our subdivision, said he was singing or whistling a hymn. And we could hear it across, she could hear it across the lake. She said it was so beautiful early in the morning to hear this person work and giving praise to God. Listen, that's a beautiful thing. As much as my wife thought it sounded beautiful across the lake, just think what it meant to God, because he wasn't trying to impress anyone. It was, he thought he was alone. We recorded it and put it all over Facebook. No, no, I'm just kidding. But you get the idea. Listen, God is about intimacy. He's about praise. He deserves praise. He deserves our worth. And listen, now is the time to worship the Lord. Listen, worship involves what? Surrender. It does. It involves a surrender of my time. It involves surrender of my ambition. It involves surrender of my reputation, and especially if you can't sing. You have to surrender that and say, I don't care what I sound like. There's a gentleman who went to be with the Lord this year, a good friend of mine. I'd sometimes stand beside him at worship back at the church I came from. And that dude could not hold a note. But when it was worship time, he would belt it out. That's why I like standing next to him, because then I could sing, and if it sounded bad, I would be like, it was him. I wasn't really worried about that. But yeah, his heart was right. His heart was right. We need to truly surrender to God. That's what it takes for worship in spirit and in truth. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says this, I beseech you. In other words, I beg you, I implore you, brethren, believers, by the mercy of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Listen, by his mercy, the fact that God has shown you and I mercy should move us to a posture of surrender and awe and praise. We should be giving him honor more than we give a president, more than we give a dignitary, more than we give a sports star. People will yell and scream for a president, for a sports star, but then they come and they all of a sudden become timid when it comes before the Lord. Well, I don't see, well, who cares? You get excited for others, but you won't get excited for God? Listen, true worship places the focus on him. Places a focus on him. In Psalm 22:3, it tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people. He does. Why? Because God was meant to be worshiped. Listen, our worship team, they do not come up here to entertain you. At least they shouldn't come up here to entertain you. They are. There's a problem. They want you to join them before the throne of God. They do. We should. Oh, Pastor Randy, man, you say this every time, but I'm not the singing type. Then you may not be the saved type. What? Yeah. When we get to heaven, what are we going to do? We're going to worship. Listen, we're about to move into that section in Revelation where we look at some worship and why we worship. It's because of him. One man said this, any man or woman on this earth who is bored or turned off by worship is not ready for heaven. Worship there is going to be loud, spontaneous, powerful, unashamed, unhinged. We're going to be overwhelmed. Yeah. When we are saved, there's a song that just comes alive. Remember falling in love, right? All of a sudden, songs just seem happier. Doesn't matter what the song is. All of a sudden, you just want to sing a song. That's why, isn't it true? Just about every couple has their song. Psalm 40, verse 3. Psalm 40, verse 3 says this. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Listen, when people see you with the new song in your heart, they might go, okay, I'm a little concerned about Randy. Maybe he needs a straitjacket because he's so different than what he used to be. But then they also recognize that something good has happened. Normally, when you put a straitjacket on someone, it's because they went off the deep end. This person's off the deep end, but man, he's just, it's a deep end of bliss, of joy. Listen, your worship to God can make a difference in someone else's life. And listen, now is the time. If there's any time to be worshiping God, it should be now. Listen, personal worship, worship involves what? Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Why? Because if it is not sacrifice, then there's no worth. Once again, I'm going to talk about Trump. People sacrificed. They gave up their day. They drove through the traffic. They stood in line. They got on a shuttle. They stood there waiting for the plane to come. They heard him talk. When he was done, they had to battle. But they go, yeah, I got to see the president. We get to stand before the living God. But a lot of people say, but I don't have time for that. Oh, I'll go next week. Oh, I didn't make it next week. Well, the next week. Well, guess what? That's the worth of God in their life. And I can't change that. God's only looking at me and saying, yeah, well, what about you, Randy? What's my worth in your life? I go, yeah, I know, Lord. Psalm 51. And I love Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is where David repents of what he has done wrong with Bathsheba and Uriah. In Psalm 51, verse 17, it says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, God, oh God, you will not despise. So that's what God wants more than anything, is that you and I come with our brokenness. Do you realize you're broken? Oh, some people think, what are you talking about? I'm broken. I got my life together. I'm a CEO. I'm a this. I'm a that. No, you're broken. You need to be fixed. You need to be saved. And when we come and we go, oh, I'm broken. When we come with a humble, contrite heart, I need to be different. God, forgive me. How could you love me the way I am? That moves you to a posture of prayer and of worship. Listen, God isn't, hear me in this, God isn't looking for the next great preacher. God isn't looking for the next great worship leader. God is looking for humble, broken hearts that will be found in a posture of worship and prayer. Then he takes that person and says, that's the one I can use to be a great preacher or a great worship leader. There's nothing great in someone who is a great orator. There's nothing great in someone who is a great musician or singer. It's great when God empowers and moves within a life because someone recognizes who he is. This type of person. This is the type of person who will make the sacrifice to God out of a grateful heart, out of gratitude. A radical attitude of gratitude. I call it a ratitude. Now notice, I said there's a sacrifice. Remember the list of different types of worship? They all involve personal sacrifice. They really do. Obedience, that's personal sacrifice. Why? Because I have to say, no, not my way, his way. Service, when I serve the Lord, I give him my time. Sometimes it's things that I don't want to do or I think that I can't do, and God goes, that's why I asked you to do it. My offerings, well, that's money I could have used to party. I wanted a bass boat or whatever. A sacrifice. Prayer. Prayer is sacrifice. I have to give God my time. And you know what happens? When you give God your time, he gives you more. You go, well, there's only 24 hours. No, no, no. He makes the time more productive. I used to have, I got saved and gave up entertainment. And then I slowly, God was trusting me with a little more, first a minimum wage at a Maverick, working graveyard. Then I went to a manager position. No, I went to a warehouse and then a manager position. And then I got a crane business. I started in a crane business. Then I had my own crane company. Men's retreats would come up. That's a Thursday, a Friday, and a Saturday. And then, of course, Sunday I was doing church. I would have to close my business down to go to the men's retreat. Some of the times I would actually do a job with my crane on the way to the men's retreat and show up in my crane. And one Texas, we had a storm, and it got all muddy at the men's retreat, and some of their cars got stuck, and I pulled their cars out with my crane. I said, hey, the Lord had me bring. But listen, I'd get customers who would call me and say, listen, you're going to lose the business. I said, you know what? Fine. If I put God first, I'll be a better Christian, better husband, better business owner. And you know what God did? He took better care of my business because I trusted him. So many people, well, I don't have time. I got to do this. And it's like, it's God's time. Put him first. Well, I can't. Then that's his worth in your life. God comes second. Everything else comes first. That goes with our obedience is a sacrifice. Our service is a sacrifice. Our offering is a sacrifice. Our prayer, our praise and worship should be a sacrifice. Well, it's embarrassing when people hear me. Who cares? He wasn't embarrassed to be hanging naked for you on a cross. He wants our time. It is his time. It belongs to him in the first place. And now is the time to worship. True worship, hear me in this. Some of the truest worship involves seeking him during a time of pain and loss. It is. When you can seek the Lord in a time of pain and loss, that is some of the purest worship we can offer. Why? Because that's when it's the hardest to worship, isn't it? You lose a loved one. You lose something vital like your job, your this, your that. The other thing is there's a loss. If you can bring yourself to worship him during that time, that is some of the purest, most spirit-filled worship, is when there is pain and suffering and you say, God, I will worship you. You know who the ultimate example of that is?
Job.
Job. Job 19, verse 25 through 27. Job 19. Verse 25 through 27. Here's what he says. Now remember what happened to Job. He lost his kids. He's lost his riches. And he was wealthy. And he had a lot of kids. And then he lost his health. He had worms coming out of sores. And he's scraping them with pieces of shards of a pot. His friends are his wife mocks him. His friends mock him and say, what have you done? And here's what he says. You think everything is gone. Everything's stripped from him. He says this, for I know that my Redeemer lives. So, Job 19, verse 25 through 27. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. After my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself. My eyes shall behold and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Oh, he says, you know, my life is tore apart. I've got nothing. Everything's been stripped from me. And he says, but I'll leave this life soon. And I will look at God face to face with these eyes. Will see him. How I long for that. Let all this pass. This too shall pass. Wow. Wow. Amazing. That is why God is pleased with Job. And that's an example for you and I. But we're not like that. We get a little bit of trouble. And all of a sudden, we're unhinged and unhappy and bitter and sour, miserable, grumpy. Anyone here been grumpy? Nah, not y'all. No. Remember in Acts 16, we went through it. Demon girl. She was making money for some people who were peddling her demonic powers. She gets saved. They get mad at Paul because she gets saved in Acts 16. Then in 25, remember this famous, why did they get thrown in jail? Paul and Silas are thrown in jail for healing a demonic possessed girl. You would think everyone would go, oh, praise the God, the demons are out of her. Yay. No, they're like, oh, money. How dare you heal our little puppet, our caged animal. So Paul hasn't broken the law. Silas hasn't broken the law. They just helped someone to come to Jesus. And they're thrown in prison. And instead of going, oh God, why would you let this happen? Why is this happening to us? How, oh, this is terrible. Get us out of here. No, no. You know what they're doing? Look at verse 25 of Acts 16, verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose. Notice it says there, everyone's chains were loosed. So here they are, uncomfortable, stinky, miserable, innocent. They're innocent. And they ain't complaining, God, why is this happening to us? Instead, they're singing praises to God. And did you notice? Look, it says, and the prisoners were listening. The prisoners. That's huge. See, God had Paul and Silas imprisoned for the prisoners' sake. I believe that with all my heart. And the guard. Because when the chains fell off and the gates were open, Paul and Silas didn't leave. They could have said, well, that God just got us out of here. Let's boogie. But instead, they kept singing and they were boogieing. No, I'm just teasing. No, they stayed. But the prisoners were listening to them. And all of their chains had fallen. I believe the prisoners' chains had fallen. I believe all the prison cells, all the gates were open. And nobody left. Why? Because there was worship of the living God going on. Where else would you want to be? These prisoners, who are they? They're the outcasts. They're the criminals. They're the broken. They're broken. Listen, turn your worries into worship and watch God turn your battles into blessings. Turn your battles into victory. But it's hard sometimes when you're in that position. Why? Feelings, nothing more than feelings. Those feelings get a hold. And listen, feelings are strong. We're talking about this in the men's ministry. We all have minds. Some of you have incredible minds, brilliant minds, deep thinking minds, until your feelings get involved. Your feelings can overpower your mind. Did you know that? No, there's no monster in your closet. And no, that bed sheet is not going to stop an axe. But your feelings tell you cover your head so you don't see it coming, I guess. I don't know. Feelings. That's why we need to worship in truth and in spirit, not in feelings and emotions, because those are fleeting. Well, I don't feel like worshiping. Then that you might as well say, I have no worth for God in my life today. Remember, worship is worth-ship. True worship is a response to a revelation of God in your life. You go, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. The more of a revelation, more of a reality God is in your life, the more of a response to worship you will have. The less reality God is in your life, the less worship you have. We're going to see this in 2 weeks. Revelation chapter 5. It's one of my favorite pieces of scripture in Revelation. Revelation chapter 5, starting in verse 4. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold," in other words, take a look, the revelation, a revealing. "The lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and loose its seven seals. And I look, and behold, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, with seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent unto the earth. And he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll," watch this, "the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sang a new song." So here's this revelation of Jesus, a reality of the power and the faithfulness. We sang that, "Great is thy faithfulness," the faithfulness of God. And did God say, "Okay, everyone, begin to worship me"? No. Spontaneous worship broke loose. Not orchestrated, not planned, just spontaneous. Why? Because that is the natural response of love. It's to sing. "The hills are alive with the sound." Okay, maybe not that. When you're in love, you want to sing. Music has deeper meaning. So here, they see Jesus, and their first response is to sing a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll." Now, by the way, I can't wait to hear the beat that they put to this, because nothing rhymes. "You are worthy to take the scroll and open the seals." I don't know. "You're worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, and made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." And listen, all of heaven is singing this because Jesus showed up and he takes the scroll. They're just like, "Man, does it just keep getting better with our God?" Some of these elders and these creatures have been before God for eons, decades, centuries, and they still are overwhelmed as God keeps revealing new facets in his life. Listen, is God revealing new facets of who he is in your life? You want to know, how's your worship? What's he worth to you? What's your obedience, your service, your giving, your praise? How are those in your life? You can tell me all day long what an awesome Christian you are, but God's going, "Well, now can your worship to me equal what you claim?" No. Yes, it can. It takes sacrifice. I got to sacrifice my will for his will, my time for his time. I got to believe. True worship is a response to God's revelation in our heart and in our lives. If you struggle to worship him, maybe you haven't taken a real good look at who God is. If you struggle to seek first the kingdom of God, if you're always worried about the things you have to do and God takes the back burner, maybe you haven't seen God very clearly. Remember, Isaiah chapter 6. I quote this all the time because I love this scene. Isaiah, he sees God, the glory of God in heaven. His glory fills the temple. And he says, I'm undone. I'm unhinged. I'm broken. I can't even stand before God. He falls prostrate. He says, I'm a man of unclean lips, of a people of unclean lips. Remember that? Remember that? And then they said, hey, he's sitting there. He's worshiping. He's broken. He's contrite. He's humbled before God at the revelation of God. And then they said, you know, they cleanse his lips because he had dirty lips. Like some of us, right? Say some things that maybe your lips are dirty from the spillage from your heart. So they take the coal and they touch his lips and they cleanse his lips. And then God goes, says this. Hey, we got something to be done, some service to be done. Who can we send? Who'll go for us? And Isaiah says, ooh, 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 Mr. Carter, send me. He says, send me. Notice the order that transpires here. First, Isaiah has what? A revelation. Then he has a realization that he's filthy. Then he has a renewal. He gets renewed. He gets cleansed. And then he's ready for service. See, understand this. Ministry isn't worship. Worship can be ministry. You're like, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. Ministry is what we do for others. Worship is what we give to God. See, I can do stuff for you and say, ooh, I'll do this for you and do this for you. That's ministry. But my ministry becomes worship when I do something for you because of him. With him in mind, with his glory intended. Worship comes down from God. Excuse me. Ministry comes down from God and works through us for others. Worship comes through us by the Spirit to God. Ministry descends, worship ascends. See, remember, when Jesus, in his service, he descended. How far? Not only did he come down from earth, come from heaven down to earth as a man, but then once he was here, he dropped to his knees to the ground to wash feet. Ministry descends. But the lower I go, the higher my worship goes. Worship ascends. Godly ministry always is preceded by true worship. Always preceded by true worship. If you're truly worshiping, serving God, your worship is going to be true worship. Valuable worship. It's going to be important to you. It's going to take precedence over everything else in your life. Otherwise, hear me in this. It's just a song. Might as well be singing Hotel California or Sweet Child of Mine or something. It's just a song. But when it's an idea that God is in love with us and he deserves our worship and he takes precedence over everything else in my life, then we're willing to deal with traffic jams and long lines. We'll do anything we can to be in the presence of true worship. Someone said this, the problem in ancient times was idol worship. The problem in modern times is idol worship and idol worship, I-D-L-E. It's both. Why? Because in our modern day, we can get things done a lot faster. We don't have to wash our clothes by hand. We throw them in a washing machine. Now I got plenty of time. Throw our dishes in a sink. Now I got plenty of time. In a dishwasher, I got plenty of time. We even have this thing called a Roomba or something like that. It even cleans the floor. You don't even have to be at home. We got all these things, fast food, boom, microwave. And yet we still go, I don't have time for God. How did they do it in the ancient world? Huh? How did they do it? Washing clothes by hand, cooking, hunting. They had to hunt, strip it, strip the skin it, do all that stuff, and then cook it. And they still had time to worship God. We are the kings of excuses. And queens, you're not. Oh, but I got to do this thing. Oh, you go do that thing. But don't tell me God is worth it. That's our problem. Everything else is worth it. And he gets our leftovers. John 4, verse 23 through 24. For God is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. I love what Chris Tomlin said. Here's what he said. Worship is where God isn't moved by the quality of your voice, but the condition of your heart. I love that. God is not moved by the quality of your voice, by the quality of the band. God is moved by the condition of the heart of the worship team, by the condition of the heart of the congregation, by the condition of the heart of the individual. And where is God in your heart and my heart? Listen, now is the time. Relationship with God should not be replaced by ritual. Can I tell you? Ritual is so commonplace in my life too often. Listen, the reason why I'm stirred up is because I'm recognizing my own failures, my own shortcomings too often. I often hear, my faith is very important to me, but, my faith is a private matter, Pastor. You're right, it is. My faith is my own. I will worship my way. Okay. There's only one way. I'm sorry. There's only one way to worship the Lord, in spirit and in truth. Here's what A.W. Tozer said. He wrote this back in 1940, before big worship teams, before theater lights on the stages, before any of that stuff. He says this, "It is certainly true that hardly anything is missing from our churches these days, except the most important thing. We are missing genuine, sacred offering of ourselves and our worship to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." What would he say now? Activity? Understand this. Activity, lots of jumping, lots of dancing, lots of whatever, shouting. That doesn't equal true worship. So just so you know, I'm not looking for you to be, you know, doing things to try and impress someone. That's fake. Activity doesn't equal true worship. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 through 3. In Leviticus 10, verse 1 through 3, then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, these were priests, each took his censer and put fire in it. That's what priests were supposed to do. Took his censer and put fire in it and put incense on it and offered a profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So in other words, they came in and they went through the rituals of worship, but they did it their way. They did it their way. No, you don't want to do it your way. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. Before all the people, I must be glorified. So Aaron held his peace. So here's Aaron. His two sons get devastated by God for offering up profane fire. Why do you do that? Because they were supposed to be representing for the people to understand. And God will not have that. They decided they would worship God their own way. That, by the way, I mention this all the time, Cain and Abel. The problem between Cain and Abel is Cain said, I will worship God my way. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. Listen, he still brought the first fruit. He still brought an offering, but it was not the offering that God called for. You and I must worship God in spirit and truth. We must worship the way God has prescribed worship to be. We cannot make up our own way. Pastor Randy, I don't like that. I'm sorry. Fight with God, not me. And I love this. Someone said this, an encounter with God marks you, and makes you hunger for more of him. That's what happens. Listen, you know why people get addicted to things? They get addicted because they try it and they like it so much that they want more. And they like it so much that they want so much more that they seem to not get enough. Is that how you are about God? You should go, oh, I encountered God. And listen, nothing compares. So I just want more of him. I want to do more with him. I want to do more for him. I want to do everything about him. Everything. It all demarks. That's why Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all else will be added to you. I know what it's like to be addicted to things. And so do you. But is that how vigorously and how zealous you are for God? Well, when you are, it comes through in your worship. It becomes a form of worship. And your obedience, and your service, and your surrender, and your sacrifice, and your offering, and in your praise. Worship isn't for us. I've said this before. Oh, I didn't get anything out of worship. Well, you're not supposed to get anything out of it. You're supposed to give to him. We aren't to get from worship. We're to give our worship to him. So if you're not getting anything out of it, well, what were you trying to get out of it? Well, I didn't like the songs. It's not about the songs. Psalm 100 says this, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with, watch that. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God, and he has made us, and we not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter in his gates with thanksgiving. Enter in his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endures to all generation. What is God worth to you? What does sacrifice to the Lord Jesus Christ mean to you? How important is the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life? You need to ask yourself those questions. That's important questions. What is God worth to you? What does it mean to make a sacrifice of praise unto God? What does that mean to you? And how important is the Holy Spirit? God doesn't want us to work this up in the flesh. That's not what I'm saying. Well, you know what? After this, I better really sing out. No. Drop to your knees, seek the Lord, and let that bubble up from within you. Let it be just an overwhelming love for God because you spend time with Him and you're intimate with Him. Let that be the driving force. And you know what? It'll be obvious to everyone that you have spent time with Jesus. You don't have to tell people. Remember, the disciples came and they said, gosh, we perceive that these are uneducated men. But we perceive that they have spent time with Jesus. See, when you spend time with Jesus, you don't have to tell people, I'm a Christian. People go, wow, man, you really love the Lord. Why? Your life shows it. You give Him worth in your life. Last verse. Isaiah 45, 8. Rain down, you heavens from above. Let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open. Let them bring forth salvation. Let the righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. See, that's when God's mercy is raining down upon you, all you can do is sing in the rain. All you can do is praise. And brothers, sisters, hear me in this. It's crazy out there. And I point to California. It's crazy out there. It's crazy in Nevada. It's crazy way over there in Pennsylvania. It's crazy. Now is the time to worship Him, to put value on Him more than stuff. Because it doesn't take a moment for someone to come in and steal your stuff. But they can never steal your faith or your salvation. They can never take Jesus from our heart. They can take our freedoms, but they can't take our salvation. So isn't that worth giving Him our praise, giving Him our obedience, our prayer, our service, our offering, and our praise and worship? Now is the time to worship Him. Father, we thank You for this time of worship. We thank You of Your word that bubbles up in our hearts. We thank You, Lord, that You alone are worthy to be praised. You alone have saved us. You alone have created us. You alone rain down Your mercy and grace upon us to refresh our souls daily. Father, help us not to take our eyes off of You. God, it's so easy for me to look around and see all the shiny things, see all my hurts, all my chains, and forget about my Savior. God, I pray today we would give You worship. Not with our words, not with our lips, but with our lives. Let it begin with me, Lord. Thank You that Your forgiveness is new every day, because man, oh man, do I need it. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters both here and in-house and probably whoever's remaining that didn't shut this off. I pray, Lord, that they would make an assessment of Your worth in their life. Because, Lord, You are worth so much more than we have to offer. But yet You receive what we got. And so, Lord, we love You, we praise You, we honor You, and thank You for Your word, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget, we're going to sing happy birthday to this little gal here after service. See you in the fellowship hall.